locally owned and operated, WDLB, 98.7 FM and 1450 AM, Marshfield.
Good morning. This is Pastor Gary Markworth of St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 8313 2nd Street in Pittsville, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining our broadcast of today's service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Pittsville on WDLB 1450 AM and 98.7 FM. We invite you to our weekly services on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. May God bless and keep you now and always.
And good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we give thanks this morning to the estate of Rodney and Edna Ohm for sponsoring our radio broadcast in their memory. Thank their estate for the gift of money and sharing God's word and Jesus Christ with WDOB, AM, and FM and the World Wide Web. Our order of service this morning is Divine Service Setting 3. Begin with our first hymn, Hymn 902, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. I invite you to stand as you're able for the last verse. Service, just as we began our entrance into the kingdom of the redeemed in the water and word of holy baptism. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive
me. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we fear for reference to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us to knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Continue the entry this morning, a portion of Psalm 71. O God, be not far from me.
O my God, make haste to help me.
My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come.
I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone.
O God, from my youth you have taught me.
And I still proclaim your wondrous deeds.
So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me.
Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all worlds to come.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O God, be not far from me.
Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, the 14th chapter. "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in the tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in the tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Continue the responsive reading of Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things in your name and in your word.
On the day I called, you answered me. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
They have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
Praise the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. I invite you to stand as you're able as we read the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Our unity of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This time the children come forward. They will be singing a song by Thomas Mack entitled, "A Friend Who Came." friend who can. He's done an awful lot for us, the Lord who can. In our gospel reading, Jesus calls his first disciples. He actually called Andrew first and his brother Peter and James and John also. They were at that marvelous catch of fish after Jesus was teaching from the boat. And we call that the church, the ark of Christ's bride is the church. And he told Peter, from now on you'll be fishing for men. I think I have a net on my stole. Paula had that verse in mind when she made this one. We're to be fishers of men. Not just the apostles, all of us, because we've been given that gift of faith. In the water word of baptism, we died. That old Adam died within us. And we are now Christ. Christ redeemed. He calls us. He shares with us. He helps us. He's the one who can help us when we're struggling, who forgives our sins, who loved us so much that he went to Calvary's cross to die for us and arose again on Easter morning to give us not only the forgiveness of sins, but the promise of life now and life everlasting with him in heaven. Yes, we have a friend who can. One who loves the fish. Any of you go fishing? Any of you go ice fishing? How much ice do you catch when you go ice fishing? You didn't catch that one, did you? How much ice do you catch when you go ice fishing? You put your big jaw with the auger, right? Yeah. But God loves to fish. And we are to help him do that by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with all we meet, within our families, with our friends, at school, at work. We share the good news because we have been truly blessed by the one who can do everything. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who can, the one who did and still does. We thank you for that most blessed gift, the gift of baptism to his death and resurrection, giving us the gift of faith in the Spirit. Help us to live our lives with the help of the Spirit of Jesus, our Lord, the one who can, so that we can bring others into his church, his ark of safety, by his grace, his love, his mercy for all, because he came to live, to die, and to save all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 609, Jesus Sinners, God Receive.
Shepherd, ever save, yeah.
come to thee with a penitent confession. Save your mercy, show to me. Grant for all my sins remission. Let these words my soul be relieved. Jesus sinners doth receive. In grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the presence of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Your brothers and sisters redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. Pastor one day got a phone call from a woman who had been recently mauled by her neighbor's dogs. Now, she was not a member of his congregation, but he agreed to meet with her anyway. Talk about her ordeal. She limped to his office with jagged stitches on her face and bandages on both her arms and her legs. "It's karma," she said. "I've done some terrible things in my life, and now I have to pay the price." Sadly, she was convinced that karma wasn't finished with her yet. Her sins were far worse than the punishment of a few dozen dog bites. Where can a sinner go for help when she thinks God exists only to even the score? Turns out that this poor woman was not looking for a Christian pastor, but some type of religious guru who could give her a list of things to do that might placate God's rage and anger. What else could she do but wait in fear for the hammer to fall once more? She's an extreme example of the morality and malaise that is all too common. People living in a world with a guilty conscience. You don't have to be a religious person to have that debilitating disease. No one needs the Ten Commandments to know things like lying, cheating, stealing, and hurting other people are wrong, and that you deserve to be punished for doing those things. A guilty conscience is living in fear of losing the respect of others, fear of losing your husband, your wife, or a child, fear of losing your job or your medical coverage. It is the terrifying prospect of seeing your face on a YouTube video with thousands of comments underneath, all of them condemning you for the secret you're so desperate to hide. The worst thing, however, is isolation. You can't have a genuine relationship with the people around you, nor can you with God. Even when the dogs are biting, you can't cry out to God for help because you believe his job is to make sure you pay for your sins. It's like being on a raft all by yourself out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Sun's beating down on you and there's no land in sight, no one to call for help. You spend your days waiting and waiting for that next big wave or that storm to dump you out of the boat into the deep, dark water, where all those hungry sharks are swimming and waiting. Where can a sinner go for help when they think God exists only to even the score? I think there are far more people living this way than we realize. They've grown used to that as a way of life. It's a sad life of fear and isolation, waiting for that day when karma will catch up with them. The problem is worse than most people think. People with a guilty conscience understand God, that God is good and they are not good because they've done bad things. Most people think we're called sinners because we sin. But God says we sin simply because we are sinners, and that is even worse. I think you probably heard something like this. People must first learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, then they can learn to love, because love comes naturally from the human heart. Sounds nice and hopeful, doesn't it? Was it really as easy as saying, stop hating and start loving? The Bible tells us the opposite is true. The Ten Commandments teach people to stop hating and to start loving. But God says the law can only reveal the disease we all have, and it cannot cure it. Our fallen human nature is incapable of loving God or loving one another as we should. By nature, of course, we love ourselves. And our charity for others says only until it gets in the way of loving ourselves. Even if loving ourselves just means giving ourselves a good feeling for being so generous. People who try to become right with God by following the law are fighting a losing battle against the symptoms without ever seeking the cure for the disease. Where does it leave people who try and try again to stop doing the things that make them feel guilty? Only to find out that the harder they try, the more they're drawn to do the very things they're trying not to do. If you had a fruit tree that kept producing sour, rotten fruit, eventually you should understand that the trees, there's something wrong with it. The problem is not that we've just done bad things. No, it's worse. God is light. We are true darkness. God is fire, and we are ice. In our fallen human nature, we're incompatible with God. There's nothing we can do about it. That's why as soon as Peter realized who was in his fishing boat, he fell on his knees and begged Jesus to go away. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Most people believe the problem of sin is as easy to solve as teaching people to stop hating and start loving. But they're sadly mistaken. And unlike most people, Peter understood the problems far worse. Again, we sin because we are sinners. Peter was afraid because he realized behind that human flesh of the Rabbi Jesus burned the terrifying glory and power of God. But he didn't realize that God had taken on human flesh in his son Jesus to cure the debilitating disease of sin once for all. Yes, in Jesus Christ, God called terrified sinners into his wonderful net of grace, love, mercy, peace, and hope. Peter was a fisherman who had a terrible night. Over and over, he cast his empty nets into this deep, dark water, trying to pull them up empty. Again and again, he tried. The next morning, he was on the shore cleaning his nets. I wonder why they weren't dirty with fish. When Jesus asked him to use his boat as a pulpit, Peter had a front row seat at church that morning, listening to the word of God coming from the mouth of the now famous Rabbi Jesus. When the sermon was over, the preacher told the fishermen, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Peter, thinking maybe to himself, said, "I'll do it, but I think you should leave the fishing to me, Jesus. I guarantee you there are no fish out there." Then that's when it all happened. No sooner had those nets hit the water than they were filled to the breaking point with fish. So many fish that they had to call the other boat over to help. So many fish that both of those boats were beginning to sink from the weight of them. And you'd think after that fishing experience, Peter would beg Jesus to go fishing with him all the time. Peter did not look at those fish and see the dollar signs, whatever monetary currency they were using, when he looked at all those fish. Instead, he saw danger. It was far worse for him than seeing your darkest secret exposed on YouTube. Holy God was with him in the boat. Peter fell down on the deck with those flopping fish and begged, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And like those fish out of water, Peter was waiting to die. And in a way, he truly did die that day. That old sinful Peter did die. But then Jesus breathed new life into him with these words, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." I still like the looking at you'll be fishers of men. But that powerful word from God in the form of Jesus lifted the burdens of guilt and fear from Peter's shoulders. Peter was no longer afraid of God's presence. He longed to be as near to God as he could be. And Peter, when they got ashore, left everything behind to follow Jesus. As the Lord Jesus Christ went fishing that day, he cast the net of his powerful word into the deep water of this world, and pull terrified sinner up into the boat. What a wonderful thing it is to be caught up in the Jesus loving net. Peter was afraid when he realized who was on the boat with him. But what he didn't realize was why Jesus stepped onto his boat. God had come in the form of his son Jesus, in human form, to cure Peter of the disease of guilt and sin, to cure all of us. And Peter soon melted when he heard the word of Jesus again. Jesus said, from now on you'll be catching men. Much like the prophet Isaiah in our Old Testament reading, God sanctified the lips of Peter and of the other apostles to preach his powerful, holy word. From the boat that is the church, the ark of the church, Peter cast the deep net of the gospel out into the deep water. And God has pulled billions of human beings throughout history onto the deck of his forgiveness, grace, hope, love, mercy, and peace. That good news Peter preached is that God sent his glorious Son to take on human form so that he could take human sins onto himself. Your sins, my sins, Peter's sins, and all the sins of the whole world, to die on a cross and on the third day rise again from the dead. Jesus had absorbed every bit of bad karma, every bit of God's wrath, anger, and rage the moment he died. Not only that, but when you were baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, that old sinful self within us also died. A new person arose, that new Adam. The only cure for the disease of sin is death and resurrection. That's exactly what Jesus came to do and to give you in your baptism. Cured of the disease, you can confidently call on God in any situation. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with your old sinful nature. It simply means that the new you will also seek God's help when you do struggle with trials, temptation, and sin. The deck of the boat that is the church is where you find that help. That same holy flesh and blood that stepped onto Peter's boat is here with us today in his word, in his holy house. He's here when we partake of his holy supper. He is here to help you, to me, and all. But what a wonderful thing to have been caught in Jesus' net. God has taken that heavy burden of guilt and fear from our shoulders, given us new life. Instead of running away from God, we now long to be as close to him as we can. Just as Jesus said to Peter, from now on you'll be catching men. Peter threw out the net. God pulled billions of people onto the boat, his ark, the church. And now, Jesus has put that net into your hands, yours, and mine. Peter said as much in his first epistle, chapter 2. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Unlike Isaiah, like the apostles, God sanctified your lips to speak his powerful, holy word to suffering sinners. I wonder how many people are out there living with that terrible disease of a guilty conscience. How many are living in fear of being discovered, waiting for karma to catch up and lower the boom? How many don't know that God loves them and wants to help them through his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, we will never know the answer to those unless we cast the net of the gospel. We have the cure in our hands. God sanctified our lips to speak his powerful, holy word to suffering sinners. And believe it or not, there's a whole lot of room yet for his boat, the ark of the church. I know what you're thinking. The water around here has been fished out. We've been here a long time. We've thrown out our nets and drawn up nothing for a long time. but I also know what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would say. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I think you know what he wants you to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Guard, keep your hearts and minds alive in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, in your mercy, you shall hear our prayer. Now let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty Father of all joy, you have taught us to believe in your righteous acts and deeds of salvation from our youth. Teach us now to proclaim your might to the next generation, that they too may rejoice in you. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord God of hosts, sustain those called to be fishers of men in Christ's church. Grant that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at his word according to their calling. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give us faith to let down the nets of your word in our daily vocations and to trust your Son to do his gracious work to poor sinners like us. Lord, in your mercy. Most merciful God, build up your church and manifest your spirit among us with wisdom and knowledge. Let our words be measured and intelligible to our fellow Christians and to those who are outside your church, that they too may utter our amens confidently in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O God, be not far from us. As you have worked deeds of salvation in Christ Jesus, so make haste to help us now in our every trouble. Grant healing to the sick, strength to the weak, and comfort to the afflicted, and steadfast faith to all. Especially ask your presence upon Diane Kismerchik and Pastor Doug Shallow in rehab facilities, Dave Bender, Eugene Gregan, Mark Butler, caring for illness and surgeries. For those who are confronting cancer, including Donna Daschle, Diane Denison, Stephanie Deister, Shirley Dye, Cordy L. Sasser, Nicole Gesser, Ella Mink, Jerry Peterson, Susie Peterson, Dixie Plowman, Lori Powers, Christy Crawley, James Schiller, Rob Schooley, Patty Steinberg, Tammy Strock, and Dan Wilson. And also a brother and sister confront chronic pain and affliction, including Reverend Martin Bauer, Alexis Bessling, Pamela Caldwell, Linda Colombino, Jennifer Flugel, Bill Frost, Donna Griswold, Al Gorge, Susan Jorgensen, Reverend Martin Keller, Donna and Christine Kapelke, Eliana Krug, Rob Schneeberg, Samuel Schooley. For those who are confined to their homes or other care facilities, including Mary Ignatowski, Linda Jensen, Mark Jensen, Shirley Kohler, Grace Leibel, Bob Mackey, Trent Mancherworth, and Margaret Chickle. We pray, Lord, to not forsake them nor us, nor the generations to come from your love, care, mercy, grace, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace and mercy, we ask your Spirit to grant comfort, hope, love, peace, and strength to the family and friends of Linda Nelson and Richard Zabel, whom you call home to yourself. Let them cast their sorrow upon you to know the true consolation of your love for them. Guide their focus to Christ's empty cross and empty tomb, where he won for us the forgiveness of sins, new life now, and the promise of everlasting salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O God of life and love, we join with our brothers and sisters in faith, giving you thanks and praise for the gift of life, including Joe Jacobson, Quinn Rajan, Abby Knudsen, and Ron Waller. Also, Ben and Jan Heck, as they celebrate their 56th anniversary in your marriage covenant on the 15th. May they and all you redeemed by your grace and spirit grow in faith, love, trust, and service to you and to one another. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let your word rule us and your spirit revive us to leave behind pride and anxiety alike, that we may follow you in all that we think, say, and do. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We pray, most merciful God and Father, through holy baptism you called us to be your own possession. Grant that our lives may evidence the working of your Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, according to the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
See the promised blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Is over. Go forth with God's grace, mercy, and peace as you love, trust, and serve your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
You will
open
the
door
of God.
Hallelujah. We close in hymn 507. Holy, holy, holy. morning. Some announcements, men's Bible study tomorrow night. Hopefully we finish the book and we'll figure out something else to do. I have a couple of things in mind. I'll let you guys decide tomorrow. And again, the note on the mission trips, Bradley and Lori and Chuck and Grace. And sign-up sheet for the bowling event sponsored by Men's Club. Sign up on the back ledge of the stones from the Memorial Garden. Men's Club's picking up the tab. Teddy promotes the fellowship between the kids and older members of the church in both parishes. So, looking forward to that. So, a good time for that. Many of you will sign up for that. Confirmation on Wednesday. And hope you have a good and blessed week. It's supposed to be a little colder, but we did not get 2 feet of snow, so I'm happy about that. So, I told the group last night in the UP, according to an inch, was the forecast every day, and we got 1.5 to 2 inches every day. And when the storm poured us 8, you get 10 to 12 to 14 inches. So you had 2 foot of snow every week. Have a blessed week. There's also newsletters here that I printed off. They were emailed last night as well.
AM 1450 and 98.7 FM, WDLB, Marshfield.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Donald Trump told a Fox News interview that Elon Musk is not getting anything from his work as head of the Department of Government Efficiency and that he was elected to reshape the federal government. But for Democrats like Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Trump's moves...
This is the most serious constitutional crisis the country has faced, certainly since Watergate. The president is attempting to seize control of power and for corrupt purposes.
Tonight, Mr. Trump expected to become the first sitting president to ever attend the Super Bowl. Up to 120 million people in the U.S. expected to watch the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills. There'll be recognition before and during the game for the victims of the New Year's Day terror attack in New Orleans. More than 300 flights have been canceled across the U.S. today as a result of the winter storm. It's dumped snow from the upper Midwest through the Northeast. This is ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? Owe the IRS $10,000 or more? With the IRS ramping up enforcement, taxpayers across the country are turning to tax relief helpers. Call 800-885-0622 now. End IRS stress today. Stop collection efforts, wage garnishments, and sleepless nights. Tax relief helpers can help you or your business settle your tax debt quickly and affordably. Call the Tax Relief Helpers hotline at 800-885-0622. That's 800-885-0622. Start your relief today.
WDLB, a lifetime of favorites. Mm-hmm.